Hello, and welcome to the Mayo Report on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be discussing the top 300 comics sold through Diamond to retailers for the month. The numbers we're going to be talking about in this episode are the top 300 comic sales through Diamond to retailers in North America. This is sell-in information, so it's what's actually sold from the publishers to the stores. It's what they're actually invoiced. At one point, prior to 2003, it was what they were ordering, but now it's what they're invoiced. Big distinction there is if something doesn't ship, doesn't show up on the list. That didn't used to be the case. Because we're still in kind of that honeymoon period with Rebirth, we still got a number of things that are being reported at lower levels for returnability. By and large, returnability is an exception case. My estimate is that Diamond's reporting at about 20% under. I've heard other people like John Jackson Miller, I think he's using about 10%. Maybe he's right, I'm right, who knows.
Did you read his article on this?
Yeah, I did. He had a really interesting article last month on, you know, the returnability, because apparently he'd been hearing stuff about, you know, people kind of saying, well, it's probably way lower than that because a lot of stuff's getting returned or something to that effect. And his conclusion, and he's obviously got the numbers and certainly the math skills to back it up, is that that's usually not the case. Usually these things are doing they're doing better because of the returnability. And, yes, you know, it's nice to see that. It's nice that he's done the legwork to kind of prove that out. I've got a ton of respect for him. He's a great guy. He's been crunching the numbers for 20 years now, actually. This set of numbers is his 20-year kind of anniversary of doing it, because he was doing it back for Comic Buyer's Guide. So Comicron.com is his website. I recommend checking that out if you're into this kind of stuff.
And it was posted on the forum, and unfortunately, I can't find it. It appears not to be in the Mayo Report thread, so I'm not sure where it ended up.
I'm not sure where that would have ended up.
Anyways, I'm not seeing it.
But again, Comicron.com. Yep. He's been, like I said, doing this forever. He's got just a wealth of information. Great guy. So yeah, when he was reporting that, it's like, that's, you know, to me, that's not too surprising. Because we've been seeing in a lot of cases reorder activity that's incredibly robust, particularly on the Rebirth stuff. And I think he was kind of limiting his stuff to the last couple of years. In other words, he's not making any kind of crazy claim that it's always been this way.
Yeah, and I did find it. It is its own thread, Comic Cron's Examination of Returnable Comics Final Numbers. Mm-hmm. It is a thread, and you can find that at the forum, of course, at comicbookpage.com.
Yeah, and what I took away from it, and what I hope the publishers took away from it, is if you've got something strong coming out and you're launching something, going returnable is a good move. And I think it gets to the point where it supports the retailers. Because right now, if Rebirth was not returnable, I do not think we would be sitting here with the third month of record-breaking sales for the top 300 comics.
Yes.
I don't know that retailers would have, could have, or should have supported Rebirth in the way they are, if it wasn't returnable. If they had to take that risk sight unseen, even with the roadshow and all that stuff, I personally would have had a kind of a wait-and-see approach, and if that meant DC lost out on sales, that would mean DC lost out on sales, you know? But DC, to their credit, stepped up to the plate, has been, I think, very kind of aggressive on the level of returnability. I think it's like 100% for the first 3 months worth of comics or something. And I think that's really paid off for them.
Yep.
As I was just saying, this is third month of record-breaking sales. Oh. We had 9,354,905 units for the top 300, which is just crazy.
Yeah.
Factor in that returnability, and we're at well over, I think, 10 million units, you know, that shipped into stores if you include that returnability. So again, just a staggering amount of comics. Potentially 10.5 million, I think. Just a staggering amount of comics And it's one of those things that, what's accounting for this? Is it Rebirth? Is it Civil War II? What is it? Well, when you break the stuff down to Marvel, DC, and everybody else, what you see is just DC shooting up the charts over the last couple of months.
Yeah.
They did 4,626,873 units in the top 300 here in August. Now, that only got them 49.46% of the total units, which is kind of ironic because, you know, Marvel has often had, you know, not often, but a number of times, you know, over 50% of the share and stuff. And here's DC doing just crazy numbers, and they're still not getting half the pie. They're getting almost half the pie. But what it comes down to is Marvel has still been really strong. Now, it's you know, not been crazy strong the last month or two, but it's not a matter of DC having stolen units from Marvel. In a lot of cases, what seems to be happening, because really, in my mind, and maybe people would disagree, but in my mind, for DC to have stolen readers or whatever, it's like, okay, I was going to get 10 comics, 5 were going to be DC, 5 were going to be Marvel, but now 8 are DC and 2 are Marvel. You know, I'm buying less Marvel because I'm buying more DC. What seems to be happening is more a matter of DC is getting additional sales, but where Marvel is not getting sales, it's because they haven't come out with, say, in August, a single issue of Civil War. So it's not that they lost those sales for Civil War. It's those sales weren't there to be had. So it's, again, we're not seeing any kind of at least at this level, massive attrition on titles over at Marvel. Now, what I will point out is over on the thread, James from Cowabunga seems to have indicated that at his store, Marvel's really cooling off. I think the Civil War II stuff may have gone on too long for their readers over there. Yet, you know, DC Rebirth is really clicking with their readers. So they are seeing people dropping Marvel and picking up more DC.
Yeah.
But by and large, you know, DC is seeming to increase the size of the pie.
Yes. I tend to agree with that. Marvel does seem to be in a bit of a slump.
I
not huge. Their total units are right about where they kind of have been averaging for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly if you take out a couple of those crazy months at the end of last year where they were ridiculous, you know,
yeah,
where they were in the 4 million plus units. But they seem to be having to put out more titles to do that.
More titles, more issues.
Issues, I'm sorry.
Okay.
They have more slots on the list than they traditionally have had the last few months.
Well, yeah, because they
used to be in the 75 to 80 range, and now they're kind of more in the 80 to 90 range.
This time they had 90 new items versus the 69 for DC,
yeah.
But also some 10 reorder items and stuff. But again, they did, you know, far less than DC. So I think they are producing a lot more comics, certainly from what I'm getting. Marvel's got more comics coming out than DC, but for me, I'm kind of measuring more based on the core superhero lines. Over at Marvel, the publisher stuff seems to have dropped off.
Yep.
And there's not much coming out from Icon, so there's not many things that they're publishing other than, say, the kids' books that I'm not getting. Whereas DC, between Vertigo, some of their kids' stuff, there's a lot more titles that DC's publishing that I'm not getting.
You know, and the Hanna-Barbera stuff. Are you still getting all of that?
I'm still getting that so far, but that's right on the edge.
Yeah, I know you had discussed several of them weren't your favorites.
Yeah, well, with Wacky Racers ending at 6, it's like, well, at this point, I'll just go on for the ride.
get the last couple, yeah.
Yeah, watch the train wreck in its glory. it's a matter, though, that right now, if we're seeing increased sales, which is good. It presumably may equate to more people coming into stores, may not. But at the very least, more comics being out there and it seeming like a healthier market, whether it truly is or not, don't know. My concern is some of the sales we're going to see on the top chart, 300 chart, clearly not sustainable by just any stretch of the imagination. And we saw a similar kind of spike with DC at the beginning of the new 52. It was not as big of a spike. It was not as prolonged of a spike. We've already gone, this is the third month of sales skyrocketing for DC. Whereas last time, it was the first issue of the new 52 that went big. The second month went huge because they had both the first and second issues on the charts because of reorders and stuff. But then it quickly kind of slumped back to about where it was for a little bit, and then up and down and up and down and such. But now they are just so head and shoulders above where they'd been doing at DC the last couple of months. It's just it's staggering.
I will say this, and yes, this is completely anecdotal, but one of the local comic shops I frequent here has essentially recent back issues in, you know, quarter dollar bin, those type of things, and they're essentially just long boxes laying on a corner in the floor. There is a long box labeled Rebirth, and it is the ones that are more than 2 months old. And for the most part, it is one and two issues of whatever titles happen to be in there. Whereas there's about 10 long boxes labeled Marvel, and sometimes there's 50 to 60 of an individual title in there.
All right, I want to make sure I'm understanding this. So they've got a discount bin.
Yes, so pretty much stuff that's over 2 months.
And they've got Rebirth stuff in there for how much did you say again? Cover would buy it for?
They're between $1. They're between 25 cents and $1.50. I don't remember exactly the price he has labeled on them.
Okay. I guess my confusion here is if these are returnable, isn't he better off keeping them at full price on the rack? And if they don't sell, them returning, or did he? I mean, I don't know the mechanics of the returnability off the top of my head. It doesn't seem like he would have missed the window yet.
This is not an owner I know well, nor is it, you know, one that I can kind of talk these things with. It was just something I noticed.
Okay, interesting.
The counterpoint to your returnability argument is if he can break even on them, it's a chance to engage a reader to possibly then buy, you know, if he's got maybe the Rebirth and the number one in the discount bin and you enjoy them, maybe you'll come back and buy 2, 3, 4 at full price. Whereas if he returns them, he breaks even, possibly loses something on shipping,
mm-hmm.
and has no chance of you coming back to buy 2, 3, 4 and whatever comes out after that.
Excellent point. And also, it's just the time and trouble it takes to return it. He's better off, like you said, engaging the reader.
And again, I think part of it is, and again, like I said, the big difference is it's not like he's got a long box of an issue. He's got one long box with one or two of the number ones and the Rebirths. Whereas with the Marvel, sometimes there's half a long box of a particular issue in this same bargain section.
Marvel also tends to be doing the exceed X amount of your orders on this to go get that.
May have something to do with that. Again, I don't know this gentleman or his business nearly as well.
Right.
But it was interesting because I kind of went, oh, there's a bargain section. I kind of flipped through it, and there was, you know, 10 long boxes full of recent Marvel stuff, and there was multiple copies of several issues. Whereas the DC box was, you know, one or two issues of most of the Rebirths and the number ones.
Well, and the other thing we don't know is
how many he ordered to begin with.
Exactly. How deep was he ordering on the two sides?
Yeah.
And kind of, is this more of a Marvel store or a DC store in terms of both the owner and in terms of the clientele?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there are just so many things that factor into that kind of
and
stuff.
And it's an 80% game store, which is why I happen to be in there. So, you know, there are a lot of RPGs and trading card games and that kind of stuff too. So
yeah. Let's see. Marvel this time around had 34.33% of the total units for the top 300. Image had 6.73%. It's just funny to see that low of a percentage for Marvel. If we add in the 2.59% for IDW and the 1.77% for Dark Horse, that gives us all the premier publishers. The back half of previews is accounting for 5.13% of the top 300 sales. Now, it's not a big deal because a lot of these things are going to sell well below the top 300. There's a lot of them. It's not like these publishers are hurting or anything. But it does show that this is why, again, most stores are going to favor Marvel and DC. Now, in this case, if Marvel is still doing all right and DC is able to capitalize and is getting, you know, people re-engaged on their titles, that, I think, benefits all the other publishers because it takes somebody who might have been starting to drift out because, it's just not finding anything I like. And, oh, wow, this is clicking for me. This is working for me. They'll keep going to the store. That gives them the store a chance to cross-sell them into other books. And any store that's not trying to cross-sell some readers, and I don't mean like a hard sell, but hey, if you like this, you might like that too, sort of recommendations. I think they're missing a major opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is just one of the major types of engagement with the customer. Understand what they like, why they like it, and then recommend other things. Now, if we jump over to the top 300 comics list.
Can I mention something before we get there?
Absolutely.
Looking still at the breakdown.
Okay.
IDW, for seemingly quite a significant period now, and obviously since they moved to the front half, they used to be neck and neck with Dark Horse, kind of flip-flopping months.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem to be the case anymore.
I think Dark
IDW is pretty solidly in fourth.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing here is IDW's got a number of good licensed properties. Star Trek is one of them. They've got the Hasbro line that they're really starting to take some major moves with the Revolution stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That pans out, that doesn't, don't know, but they're at least doing some stuff, some universe building there that's interesting. So they've got a lot of things that they can kind of work with there. Dark Horse is, you know, again, having lost a year or two, 2-3 years ago, the Star Wars license, they really haven't seemed to have anything kind of come in and fill that gap in a major way. They're still doing what they're doing, which is a number of different titles. They've got a couple of creator-owned things here and there. You know, Resident Aliens, one that I kind of like. But I wouldn't say they've got anything that I can think of off the top of my head that is just a really strong kind of anchor title or franchise for them. So I think it's a little bit of IDW has stayed focused and stayed strong, and Dark Horse is just still kind of repositioning a little bit post-Star Wars.
And obviously this doesn't affect the comic numbers, and more a you and TJ thing to discuss. I'm assuming the acquisition of Top Shelf helps their trade sales.
I would think so. I'd have to actually kind of dig in on that.
Yeah.
Figure out which of those are, you know, how much can they attribute to that imprint or that brand.
Yeah. And again, something you and TJ like to talk about quite a bit. IDW's got an entire kind of imprint they're doing of IDW coloring books.
Mm-hmm.
Which again is an interesting thing that probably seems to be working for them.
Well, I think that's the other difference right now between Dark Horse and IDW. At one point, Dark Horse was kind of the one branching out into the television and stuff like that. They were one of the things, companies kind of involved with the Who Wants to Be a Superhero stuff many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had things going on in that respect. You know, the Hellboy movies and stuff like that. They still have some of that going on, but nothing, again, that I can think of, or at least that it appeals to me.
Yeah.
So whatever they've got active is kind of off my radar. But I think IDW is doing a lot more stuff in that space in terms of beyond just comics,
yep,
movies, television, games, toys, etc. Part of that with the Hasbro stuff. Also, they are behind the upcoming Dirk Gently series.
Yes, they are.
So I think from just a business point of view, IDW's got a lot more irons in the fire, and some of those are panning out, and they've been able to expand their scope without kind of slowing down or hurting their comic side.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think anything's going wrong at Dark Horse, but they don't seem to have anything that's going amazingly right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
they're doing fine. But
I would argue this is not new. It's probably been the case for at least 7 or 8 years, if not more. Arguably, IDW is the premier book publisher along this list. And I mean that literally in the quality and production of their products. I don't think there's another publisher that could pull off the hardcovers, the artist editions, the way IDW does. IDW either just has a better printer, better production design people, or they take it more seriously maybe, or they go after that market. IDW does, in general, if there is one gorgeous book a year, it's there. Dark Horse was doing it at one point with those library editions, but those seem to be falling off too of late.
Yeah, because I was getting the Legend of Korra and the Avatar kind of library editions, but I don't recall seeing one solicited for quite some time.
Yeah, and they had the they were doing the Eerie and Creepy archives and the Hellboy. I think the Hellboy ones have continued, except they don't have anything to put into one currently.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing with the library editions that I was getting is they had essentially trained me not to be getting their trade paperbacks, because I'd wait for three of them to get compiled to library edition. Yep. So that may have hurt them in two respects, you know?
Yeah, one thing I'll say, when ordering trades or particularly hardcovers, I have no second thoughts about IDW, because I know it's going to be a quality, gorgeously designed product.
Well, and to me, that's where I go back to that business sense and how they've kind of expanded their scope. They've been doing those artist editions for
4 or 5 years.
I was going to say closer to 10.
Oh, has it been? Okay, possibly.
I don't remember when the first one, which I think was the Rocketeer, came out, but it was
quite
some time ago. And just having the concept for that, having the follow through on that, continuing to do it, getting good material. I mean, those are one of the few kind of recurring high ticket items that you're not going to get every one of them necessarily. Some people might. But if you're into that kind of stuff, you're going to look at each one to decide if you're going to get it. Whereas I would be hard pressed to name any other publisher that's got an ongoing upscale kind of a product that we could be seeing 20 years from now. You know what I mean? Is in terms of new stuff coming out.
Yeah.
Because everything else is title based and the titles run their course.
Yeah. It looks like the first one was the Rocketeer, and it looks like they brought it out around San Diego of 2010.
Okay, so you were right. You're more to like six years or so than the 10 I was thinking. I was thinking it was longer than that. My bad. I didn't get the Rocketeer at first. I did wind up getting it later, and I've gotten a number of these things since.
Yeah, they are gorgeous. They're well made. They are so, in some ways, expensive. Other ways, not at all. But I don't have a great need for coffee table books in my life either. I have a few, and yeah. Money was literally no object, I'd probably have a lot more. They're gorgeous, but I do pick and choose very carefully the ones I get.
I would say the one mistake they've made with the line of artist edition books is sometimes they offer two in a given month.
Mm.
And that usually forces me, it rules one of them out almost.
Yeah.
If I want both, it's like, well, one of them's not going to happen. You know, whereas if they did one month, the other the next month, they'd both be in the running. So I think just in terms of spacing them out a little bit better, and again, they don't do that often, but that's about the only serious mistake I think they may have made on that line. I mean, I've talked about other companies doing similar things. The 112 collection of action figures.
Yeah.
Came out too fast.
Well, and to be fair, I think you point out when they put out two in a month, when these things were first coming out, it was two or three a year.
Yeah.
Quarterly, I can at least think about and go, oh, if I really wanted to get them all, I could. When it's 15, 16 a year,
I don't know that they're necessarily doing that many. It's just that some months have more than one. The one before or after may have none.
Well, okay, that is true. But it's a lot more than quarterly.
Yes.
And in some ways, I think it's gotten me to buy a few fewer. Was it they were coming out quarterly, I might buy two, three, even all four in a year.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's 10 a year, let's say, now it's like, well, is it a really, really special one? And it might even have a higher threshold to meet than if it had only been quarterly.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I mean. If they spaced the stuff out a little bit better.
Yeah.
Till we had time to kind of metabolize the spending. It's like, okay, I've covered that last one. Now I can go for, because I mean, some of these are $95. Some of them are $150. It depends how much material.
Standard retail on them seems to be around $200.
Okay.
I know it's a net price in preview, so it's kind of hard to gauge that. Assuming you don't go to a discounter and you walk into kind of your average comic book store selling everything at full cover.
Yeah, I'm way too cheap for that.
I agree, but they tend to be in the $195 to $200 range.
Yeah. And the sad thing is they justify the cost.
Oh, absolutely. Now, like I said, that's what I was talking about. They absolutely do.
Yeah. I still, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, I still want to see them do a companion product for a lot of these things that spotlight the writing, the production behind the scenes.
Oh, okay.
interviews with the writer, the editor, that kind of a stuff. I just think there's some really good companion books to be had.
Yeah. It's interesting. They tried the companion, like the portfolios or whatever, and that didn't seem to work as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'll admit, there's a smaller market for this sort of companion writing and behind-the-scenes book than for the art book itself.
Yeah.
Because the artist edition, anyone can look at it and say, wow, that's just amazing art by thus and so.
Yeah.
Whereas it takes more investment of time to, wow, this script was just amazing, and look how it looks on the page, and so forth.
Yeah.
So maybe not for every book, but I think it could be an interesting companion line.
Certainly.
Anything else on the breakdown?
I'm good.
Okay. Now let's go to the top 300, because, man, we've just got some crazy stuff this time around.
Yes.
I'm going to say from the get-go, some of these sales are not sustainable, and then we're going to go and prove for one or two cases that they most definitely were not sustainable. We had 11 items over the 100,000 mark. Of those, three of them were over the 2,000 mark. Of those, one of them was over the 3,000.
300 mark. And 300.
Yes, sorry.
And the one that was under wasn't way under.
No, the one that was under by less than 700 units. Yeah.
No, 20. It was under by between 10 and 11,000 units.
Which one are you thinking?
The one that's at 289,348.
Oh, got it. Okay, sorry. I was thinking the 100,000, not the 230. Yeah. Point being, some of these are crazy high. Yeah. Anything above 100,000, I'm going to say, unless it's Batman, it's probably not sustainable.
Uh-huh.
There are a few others. Okay, maybe. Batman's proven it. It can do it.
I'm going to pull back the curtain just a touch. Here's one of the ways when I first got the spreadsheet from John and looked at these numbers, I knew it was a crazy month. John has a function where he can mark books and essentially highlight books to take an extra look at or that he mm-hmm. may want to do something with. And usually there's between three and five of them kind of spread out somewhere, is usually in the top 100. This time I had to start scrolling and scroll quite a ways before I got to the ones that weren't highlighted anymore.
So what I've been doing the last couple of months, and I don't know how many more I'll do this for, I've added some stuff off to the right.
Yeah.
For returnability.
Yeah.
And any that are returnable this time around, I'm highlighting in orange. Normally I use a yellow.
Okay.
For the highlight. But these are worth noting because this is, again, at the reduced numbers. So when the majority of the top 50 is at this reduced returnability level, and still selling crazy numbers.
Yes.
I mean, the top seller here this time around was Harley Quinn number one. It's part of Rebirth, so it's returnable. Let's say it's reported at 80% of what went into stores. Maybe it's 90%, but I'm going to say 80. 359,957 units are what made it on the list. So if that's reduced by 20%, that means potentially nearly another 90,000 units are out there. That's crazy. That's also completely not sustainable. Now, how not sustainable is it? If I had just had to guess, I would say there was the possibility, not the probability, but certainly the possibility of a 90% drop on this title, because yeah, Harley Quinn's doing well, but frankly, if you'd look...
You really think under 35,000?
If you look how it'd been doing prior to the Amanda Connor, Jimmy Palmiotti run...
Well, yes.
That's what it was doing.
Yes, but since then...
Since then, twice that, easy.
Twice that, easy. Yeah, exactly.
So like I said, there was the possibility, not the probability, of a 90% drop.
Well, here is the number that jumped out at me.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the top four DC books,
okay,
which is the four of them that are in the top five,
yeah,
you're over a million units.
Yeah. And again, this is part of why DC's doing just crazy good right now.
Yeah, there's four books that represent over a million units.
Now, just so the listeners know, that's Harley Quinn number one at the first rank. Second rank is All-Star Batman number one with 289,348 units. Rank number three is Suicide Squad number one with 217,672 units. And then at rank number five, Suicide Squad Rebirth number one, 177,805 units. And like you said, you total those four up, and you're talking 1,044,782 units.
And if you total the nine DC books in the top 10,
mm-hmm.
they're at 1.69 million, which is more than the 1.51 million that everyone other than Marvel and DC did.
Yes. And it's, I mean, it's nuts because that's more than DC has done in some months.
It is.
So it's not that, Rebirth is moving the needle a little bit. It's yeah. pegging the needle.
Oh, it is. I mean, again, just for comparison's sake, after Marvel and DC, the next largest publisher is IDW. Or I'm sorry, Image Comics. Image Comics is the next largest publisher. The top two books represent more sales than Image Comics' combined sales for the month.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, Marvel and DC are just operating at a different level than these other publishers.
Yeah.
And
obviously true.
We're in the honeymoon period for Rebirth, and it's got that returnability. So it's just, DC did a number of things right with Rebirth, I think, having learned from the New 52 relaunch. They staggered the launch of the books.
I agree. I think that was ingenious. I would argue, rather than learning from the New 52, I think they learned from Marvel, who did that when they essentially laughed at DC for doing a relaunch and then has done it 3 or 4 times since.
New 52 was a relaunch. I don't think what Marvel has done or Rebirth is truly a relaunch or okay, a reboot.
Whatever. But if,
yeah.
if you're going to put a number one on all your books, it seems to work better for both companies. And Marvel's the one that figured this out to spread them out over 3 or 4 months.
Well, Marvel's even done it over the course of a year. I mean, there was a point where every week we were getting a new number one.
Well, yeah, but there was 2 rebirths in that cycle of a year. They did it twice.
It's getting to where every 6 months I get a new number one of almost every title from Marvel anyway, so who
exactly.
can keep track? Call it, you know, different branding or if it's one ongoing recycling of their titles.
Yeah, but whatever. Like I said, yes, I agree. They did learn. I think, you know, Marvel learned the renumber everything trick from DC in the New 52 to some degree, or at least accelerate it. And DC then in turn said, oh, stagger them. That's not a bad idea either.
We'll stagger them and come out more often. I think DC has definitely been watching what Marvel's doing. And, you know, just like Marvel was doing 2 issues a month of various books, I mean, DC's followed suit.
Yeah.
And it makes sense for the most part. I still question a couple of books doing it, specifically Wonder Woman. But, you know, hey, it's working for them at the moment. The question is, how long is this going to work? Because it didn't take long for New 52 sales to get back to around where they were before the New 52. And it's got a little further to go to get down to the immediate pre-Rebirth sales than it would to get down to the kind of the average for the New 52 and whatnot. But
there are some interesting ones, though. And you go down to the kind of the bottom of the Rebirth titles. There are books that are still well above where they ever would have been. But they are significantly below where they started in, you know, Aquaman number 5, for instance, at rank 52, is down to 54,929. That is an unbelievably great-selling Aquaman book, but still it's at rank 52.
Yeah, but that title started around 85,000, so having only lost 30,000 at this point, it's not too bad.
Well, to be fair, issue 4, which is also this month, is at 61,000.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those things. These things are still finding their level. We're still in the honeymoon period. Again, that Harley Quinn number 1, completely unsustainable at nearly 360,000 units.
Yep.
We know this for a fact because at rank number 9 is Harley Quinn number 2.
Yep.
At 116,651 units, which is down 67.59%. So 2/3 of the sales, poof, gone. And this was one that was a fake number one in almost every sense. This could have just been continuing the number of how the title had been doing prior. It completely did not need, it did not get rebirthed in any way, shape, or form that I can tell.
However, it's more of a, that book in general has been more of a random, almost like single, you know, almost like single issue stories in some ways. Not completely, but certainly not the arc method that many comics currently use.
No, it's not the arc method, but it's got the ongoing soap opera with the Harley Quinns and stuff like that.
Yes.
So
it's different, but not, yes, it's not 1960s one and dones, but it's certainly not the current arc method either.
Yeah, it's it's working for them, though.
It is.
You know, not so much with the spin-off Harley books. I mean, you got to go a ways down to get, like, Harley's Little Black Book, which is down at rank 76, and Harley and Her Gang of Harleys down at rank 87. So Little Black Book did 38,545 units. Harley and Her Gang of Harleys did 31,727 units. So obviously a far cry from what the main Harley book is doing.
And I think DC might quickly learn that Harley's a great title, and it's good for when you were doing one a month, you could get in one other Harley book a month. But now that the main one's doing two a month, you might not need kind of those other ones.
Yeah. Well, Harley and Her Gang of Harleys, I think, was a 6-issue miniseries.
Yeah.
And we've also got the 5th issue down there at rank 94.
Yeah.
But I think having a team-up book, having this other series of miniseries, because there was the Power Girl one before this, they're essentially trying to copy what Marvel's doing over on Deadpool.
Yep.
You know? Harley and Her Gang of Harleys is essentially Deadpool and Mercs for the Money.
None of these are $10 books, though.
Yeah, but I'm almost wondering if they'd be better off doing the $10 book once a quarter.
Maybe.
You know, if they had something where Harley has got a $10 book, but it's, okay, she's teaming up with the various Superman titles or the Batman titles. I don't know, something like that. Maybe it'd work?
Yeah.
Or once a quarter, she gets together with Poison Ivy and Catwoman. I don't know. It's not pushing for another $9, $10 book kind of a thing. Good with the $2.99 price points. But, of course, Harley's Black Book is $4.99, and Harley and Her Gang of Harleys is $3.99.
Yep.
But, you know, I the Harley Quinn book at $2.99 I like. The other books are fun to read, too. But seeing that kind of a drop, just bam, you know, there goes, nearly a quarter million units between issues 1 and 2. It's just staggering, but unsurprising. Let's see, what else do we got up here? A lot of those top couple of books, top five, we talked about 4 of them. They're all number one, so we don't have any comparison points prior to that. What's interesting is that other book in the top five is Amazing Spider-Man number 16. It did 185,341 units. That's an increase. It almost doubled in sales. It's an increase of 98.06%. Now, there are a couple of things that I think factored in on this. Something had to.
Well, there's one that's very obvious.
Which is?
The retail rank.
The retail rank of 6?
Yes, which is below Suicide Squad and Batman for the same price book that sold below it.
Yes.
So the book was extra discounted.
Absolutely. One of the emails I got after my article went up, where I attributed a lot of this to, among other things, this issue being in the Marvel Collector Core with a variant cover.
Yep.
It having two Comics Exposé variant covers, I think it was, which I think are, I guess that's a retailer, online retailer.
Okay.
A color one and a black and white kind of a thing. But also a Marvel Sum or whatever variant. So, again, variant cover gimmicks.
Yeah, but the variant cover gimmicks rarely affect retail rank. I think it's the Marvel Collector Core that got a special deal on these.
I would hope so. But yes. They also did deep discounting on this issue. They did an exceed 200% of your total orders for Amazing Spider-Man for number 16, exceed 200% of your orders for 15 with the regular cover, and you get an extra 20% off.
Oh, okay. So they discounted it for anybody who wanted to participate and take a risk.
The retailer who sent me this information was basically, you know, if I can get an extra couple, you know, double my order for, you know, less than the price of a trade paperback kind of a thing.
Yep.
Of course he's going to do it. But it was staggered. It was if you do 150% of orders for 15, you get 10%. If you do 175, you get 15%. If you do the 200, you get the 20%. So it's basically, you know, hey, yeah, if you can get more for a negligible cost, why not? But these are the exact sort of a things you're likely to go back to that retailer you were talking about earlier.
Yep.
And find in that discount bin.
Yeah, that's possible as well.
You know, but if it engages a couple of more readers, that's not a bad thing.
No. And and being in a collector's box, that unfortunately I think hurts the resellers. They've got a, oh, by the way, not only we're giving it to you cheaper, but we also gave them away to a percentage of your clientele anyways.
Yeah.
Because the clientele is simply buying those boxes anyways.
Well, anytime I'm going through these numbers and I see something that just shoots up wildly like this, on the one hand, I think it's great. I love to see comics increase in sales. On the other hand, I absolutely despise it because it's like, what the heck happened here?
But again, it's Spider-Man. This isn't Orphan Black all over again or Rocket Raccoon.
True, true.
It's a book that fairly consistently is in the top 15.
It's just the sort of a thing, anytime I see this when I go through the numbers, I know that either you or somebody else is going to ask, well, what happened here? And I'd like to have a good answer.
Because I'm going to drop down to the only other non-DC book in the top 19.
Okay.
And ask what happened there.
With Walking Dead?
Yeah. Not crazy sales, 97,689. Mm-hmm. Up 27.94. But this is a book that's been up 8, 9, 10% the last couple of months. After some kind of historic highs, it seemed to have settled back down to about 65,000. And the last 3-4 months, it's headed back up, and this month significantly so.
This is one that it's hard to tell on this title if it's an actual increase or just a bump for an issue. Because we've had a couple here and there that'll do this one issue kind of a spike and then drop right back down. So don't know if this is one of those or not. It is the start of a new story arc.
It's weird because I thought that's what you said last month when I said, hey, it went up almost 10%. Why? You said it's the start of a new story arc. I thought this said a month ago on 156.
Well, this one actually says it's a new story arc, so maybe I was wrong last time.
Okay.
There is a variant cover on this, or let me say. There is a second cover on this.
Okay.
I don't know. It doesn't seem to be listed as a variant. It's not an incentive cover. It's just, hey, here's another order code. So I don't think that's the sort of thing that would have caused this sort of a spike in sales.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not seeing anything else. It's not like it's extra discounted that I can see from what I've got in front of me. We've just seen enough cases where the thing just does this odd little one-issue blip and then boom, right back to kind of how it had been going. But there is the strong possibility, because I do think that the one sales technique that very few titles can get away with, and this is definitely one of them, is starting a new major story arc. And the Whisperer War storyline here, I think, qualifies for that. And the question is, if you exclude the crazy variants and stuff they've had a couple of times, mm-hmm. This is a new high watermark for the title.
Yes.
But is it just that one-and-done spike, or are we seeing people jump from the trades to the issues? Yep. This is one of the few titles I would say there's a strong chance. Not a guarantee.
Well, it's a title we kind of thought that about a few times. It just, again, like I said, after thinking, oh, can it, you know, sustain at near 100,000? Okay, maybe 80,000. And then it settled back to 65. And now it's the last, like I said, 3-4 months, it's kind of headed back up there.
Yeah, but if you roll back to, second quarter, whatever, 2012.
Oh, well.
It was going at one point, and then it just kind of ticked up and just stayed at that level ever since.
Yes, absolutely.
So this is a hard one to really gauge on this.
It really is.
Because not only is there all of what's going on with the comics and stuff like that, it's got such a known quantity outside of the comic readership that it's hard to know how much that may be influencing this. You know, a lot of things, the mass market is unaware of many of the items on this list. The mass market is absolutely, positively guaranteed aware of The Walking Dead. No two ways about that. So what that means is if they're looking for something and it's like, hey, I've been getting this over at the bookstore or whatever, but man, I just got to get it faster. It's not coming out fast enough. There's the possibility people would start picking up on the issues.
Yeah.
More likely they might go digital, but, you know, there are options.
And there's another book that makes that extremely easy and has for quite a while.
Yeah. This is one of those months where because DC had so much stuff in the top 50, it crowded out a lot of other things.
Now, here's a dumb question, and obviously one you can't answer, but I'm throwing out a, an idea. The Walking Dead title shipped the first Wednesday in August, August 3rd.
Uh-huh.
With DC doing as well as it is, potentially bringing some newer readers into the comic shop, is there a chance part of this is essentially reorders when stores had all those extra people in for DC and people went, oh yeah, I'm watching The Walking Dead. That's a comic book. Do you have one? And there's just been enough of that that it's accumulated these sales?
Certainly that's a possibility to the tune of nearly a 28% increase.
Yeah, probably not. But
it's a 5-week month, so it's it's possible.
It certainly couldn't have hurt it.
Agreed. Agreed. The fact it's the start of a story arc makes it more plausible. I'm not hearing, and part of this is just I'm not in the circles necessarily to hear this, I'm not hearing the stories I was hearing around the new 52 time of all these people that were lapsed readers going back into stores. I'm not saying that's not happening.
Yeah.
But it's not happening in droves like it seemed to about 5 years ago. So it's possible it just, I don't know.
Yeah. Again, not necessarily lapsed readers, because I agree with, but it's just, it's one of those, if it's the guy who comes in maybe once a month, is now in weekly, and there's a slightly weak, small week, might go, hey, yeah, I watched The Walking Dead, give me one of those too.
I guess my question would be, why now? If he was coming in anyways, he would have known about Walking Dead the entire time. It's not like it suddenly hit the thing.
Fair enough.
Something clearly happened here.
Yeah.
And again, we've seen...
Ooh, wait a minute.
Huh.
I just noticed something. It's going to show up someplace else as a mass discount. Look at the retail rank, which I didn't...
22, yeah.
Yeah, and again, it's surrounded by books at the same $299 price point because of these.
But that puts it only about 10,000 units above where it might have placed otherwise at that rank.
Yeah, that is true.
But
the books on either side of it would have been Superman and Wonder Woman at 88 and 85,000.
That's a good catch. It would not surprise me at all if this showed up in the October.
Some October book.
Some October subscription box. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Halloween. Yeah, fair enough.
That makes sense, but it would be a little bit more of a niche box because some of these boxes seem to do pretty well.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, every once in a while you'll see something that just and the retail rank is, again, why I keep it on there, but obviously I don't pay enough attention to it, because otherwise I'd have caught that. I might have also caught...
Well, I noticed the Spider-Man one right away, but yeah, The Walking Dead I did not notice immediately.
Yeah, it's just some of these things. Obviously, price is a factor. If you can, you know, get somebody to buy the thing because you've discounted it, why not? And that's why I'm glad we've got the retail ranking here, because it makes some of this visible. Whereas otherwise, it's like, you know, why did this suddenly show up on the list at some inexplicable level?
Oh, and this is me falling asleep and not looking at the whole list. After all that time talking about Spider-Man, we do have the next issue.
Yes, we do. It's 17. It dropped nearly 60%, 59.60% at rank 32, down to 74,869 units. And again, this was one of those things where I'm looking at it and it's like, something happened with 16 and only 16. What's up with that? And again, these sorts of variant covers and subscription box placements, they're sales techniques. I mean, they're going to do it. It's fine. But, you know, I treat those sorts of bumps differently than something, again, like a Walking Dead or some other things that some of these are easier to trace back to. Oh, well, something happened here. I go look at the retailer order form. I see 500,000 different covers for it. I'm like, well, that's it. You know, other cases, it's like, well, I'm not seeing anything. What else happened?
Speaking of the covers, I am noticing all the DC books have the multiple cover designation.
Yes.
There was a point where DC had kind of backed off of doing multiple covers. Has that fundamentally changed, or is there simply, okay, there's two covers for this?
That's fundamentally changed.
Okay, so they're doing crazy variant
editions.
Okay.
But these are alternate covers, not variant covers, technically, or not incentive covers, I should say.
That's what I mean. So they're not changing they're not going to the Marvel 8 different incentive versions.
No, they're not.
Okay.
But it was at one point, they were very much not doing a ton of covers on books. Now almost everything has this other cover.
Yeah.
but it's something that they can order whatever they want of. You know,
so it's a change, but not necessarily the type of change that fuels huge increases.
Yes. I would say on some of these are the kinds of ones that really depends on the cover. If it's you've got two covers and one of them is just, wow, that's amazing. Or both of them, geez, I really like those covers.
Yeah.
You may get some people to double dip because they can.
Yeah.
You know, if I like both covers, say, on Action Comics, well, if I want to plunk down the cover price for the other copy, okay, fine. Not a big deal. It's not like the other one's going to be $5, $10, $20, $30, $40, $50, $100 or something. You know, these are also the sort of things that when they're independently orderable like this, and if you're going to do more covers, this is the way it should be done. The other spin on this is if you have connecting covers.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time or two they did some Justice League covers where you connect them together and you get a you know, a shot of the entire team. Half of it on one cover, half on the other.
Well, and they did it during... Was it Brightest Day when they did the riff on the Sistine Chapel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've had a couple of
like four or five interlocking covers that did that.
Well, and I think at one point on, I think it was JSA, there was a sequence of, you know, there was a separate, you know, Alex Ross covers one every month. And it's like, okay, here's Hawkman, here's Flash, here's Green Lantern, here's whoever. And you could build up to basically here's the entire Justice Society.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's cool. So I don't begrudge those. But I think this is cluttering up the order form a little bit by having a variant cover for, like, everything. But it's at least not as cash grab and collector oriented as the, you know, you've got to buy 20 to get one of these. You've got to buy 50 to get one of those and those kinds of rarity and chase covers.
Mm-hmm.
There are some publishers and some people that seem to be very much of the mindset that the chase thing is good. It just seems like if we ever get to the point where digital is the primary revenue stream, it just doesn't fly there. Now, that having been said, digital seems to have leveled off, so there's no risk of it becoming the primary revenue stream anytime soon, necessarily. But I think chasing the collectability aspect is a dangerous game.
Yeah.
And having it where it is a part of the business, and you're thinking by doing, you know, an extra cover on each of these books, you can get X percent more sales. Okay, maybe you can, but for how long? And if that market dries up, do you suddenly lose X percent of your revenue that you were then dependent upon?
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the variant covers. But everything on the list down through rank 56 had more than one item code, which means it had more than one cover. And then we only have maybe half a dozen ish that don't have that as far down as like the top 100. So it's the way the business is these days. Whether I like it or not, it's happening. Yeah. Has been for a long time too.
Dumb question. Skipping way down, well, not way down, but down from where we've been talking,
mm-hmm.
to rank 22.
Okay.
Black Panther number 5, 83,756. I remember when this book first came out, I said, there's no way it's over 40,000 in a month or two. Clearly, it is much more popular than that. And I was wrong. And the book's doing very well. However, this time it went up 15%, gaining almost 11,000. Do you have an easy explanation for that? Or is this just that popular a book?
I have an easy explanation for that.
Okay.
This is Black Panther number 5.
It is.
It had a regular cover.
Okay.
And if you met or exceeded 90% of the orders for Black Panther number 3 with the regular cover orders for Black Panther number 5, you could order as many as you want of the Cassaday Story Thus Far variant.
Mm.
And you could order one variant for every 15 of the regular you purchase of the classic artist variant. And you could order as many as you want of the Ribic Connecting A variant cover, and as many as you want of the Steranko Captain America variant cover. And if you do, again, that 90% orders of Black Panther number 3 of the regular cover of number 5, you could order as many as you want of the Pacelli Sum Sum cover. And you could order one variant for every 10 of the regular purchase of the Kabam Contest of Champions game variant. So that's what, 6, 7 variant covers?
On the bright side, I didn't hear any 1 in 25s, 1 in 100s, 1 in 250s.
True, it was a 1 in 10 and a 1 in 15 for those two. And a lot of them are, you can order whatever you want of these. So some of them are variants. The Chase stuff's not too bad. Ordering 90% of issue 3, that's not unreasonable-ish.
Well, it's down. At least it wasn't 180% or 200% like we saw with the Spider-Man one.
Yes, yes. So, yeah. There, again, these are ones that sometimes I chase back. This is one I didn't chase back for the article, and maybe I should have.
But the book's still selling amazingly well. The fact that, you know, it was at 72,000 to begin with issue four, I think this Black Panther book is an obvious success for Marvel.
I think they launched it at the right time. I think Civil War, the movie, put the character in a very good position in terms of people wanting more Black Panther.
Yep.
I think doing a second Black Panther title is a mistake.
Are they doing another one?
World of Wakanda, I believe. Black Panther, World of Wakanda. Maybe it'll work. Maybe there's enough interest in that too, but it seems like you run the risk of splitting your audience between two Black Panther books, and it just feels a little greedy.
Yeah.
One Black Panther book doing this well is a pleasant surprise. Two doing this well is highly unlikely. But, you know, they're going to do it, so we'll find out.
Yeah.
Let's see, we've also got Darth Vader 24 up in this top 50-ish area. Again, most of this is DC Rebirth stuff. We've got one more issue of Darth Vader before that title goes away and gets replaced with essentially a Star Wars Classified.
Yep.
Two of the other things... Oh, if we look at Marvel for a second...
Sure.
Just filter down to that. Let me do that and get all this other stuff, all this DC stuff out of the way. And we look at the top handful of things for Marvel. We got that Spider-Man. We've, again, attributed that to being a subscription box, being heavily discounted, etc. Star Wars 22, down about a little over 6%, but it's Star Wars. It's doing well. We've talked about Black Panther. We talked a little about Darth Vader. We talked about that other issue of Spider-Man that was kind of getting it back to more or less how it had been doing. And by which I mean it's actually, you know... Yeah, more or less how it had been doing. I was going to say down a little, but not too bad. We then get Star Wars Han Solo. Now, at this point, we're starting to get into the mid-60,000s. With the next two, Fallen and Accused, I find these a little interesting because of the title. Neither one of them have Civil War II in front of them, and both of them should.
Oh, is that what these are? I was going to ask you, what are these?
These are Civil War II crossovers, or tie-ins or whatever. Fallen is dealing with the one of the major deaths of the storyline, and the Accused is also dealing with that same death. The first, the victim; the second, the person who killed him.
Are these miniseries or one shots?
One shots.
Okay.
Poorly timed one shots at that. The Accused came out dealing with the trial of the person who'd killed the other person. I don't want to give spoilers.
Fair enough.
Unfortunately, Marvel was not above giving spoilers because it came out a few weeks after I already knew how the trial ended. It's like, well, why do I need to read the trial if I know what happens? I know the verdict. It's like a football game when you know the score.
Speaking of knowing the outcome, are you concerned about the recent announcements that Civil War is being delayed and we're going to go through what happened with... Secret Wars, where all the outcomes will be known because we'll have five issues of the replacement titles before the final issue of the event comes out?
I am concerned, but maybe not for the exact reasons you're thinking. Obviously, the reasons you give are very viable things to be concerned about. And stealing of thunder of different titles and stuff, the ending may seem to fall flat because we know key aspects of the plot points because of other titles that have already launched. You know, if the Champions title has launched and it's spinning out of the Civil War II stuff, and the Civil War II stuff hasn't ended for it to spin out of, yet we know their status quo going in, okay, that's awkward and doesn't really help the Civil War II ending.
And which is essentially what happened with Secret Wars.
Yeah, it's happened with a couple. Yeah, Secret Wars is the most recent example. It's happened with a couple of things. My concern...
Which is still better than the first Civil War option, which was pretty much put everything on hold for 3 months.
Yeah, they just couldn't do that right now. I mean, seriously, it's one thing to back up your titles when you're coming out once a month. When you're coming out twice a month on a bunch of these books, you can't catch up. You don't have the time. You're coming out weekly at that point, and the retailers would go nuts, or broke, or both. My concern is more on Marvel's kind of reputation and event fatigue. Announcing this thing's going to go on for even longer than it was supposed to, both in terms of issues and duration. In other words, it's late and will be extended.
Well, okay, so this is the other thing that has become a staple of Marvel for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
The event. It's an 8-issue miniseries. It's a 6-issue, whatever. The event's going to be this long.
It's X, but really it's going to be X plus something.
Yeah. We're adding issues plus they're all coming out late.
Jason's clip in the last preview spotlight.
Hey, which I have not listened to yet. Yeah.
Oh, man. He had a great clip on what's going on with this, if it's late and it's extended.
Yeah.
And just how this is always happening. It was hilarious. And it was hilarious because it's true.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Don't mislead me up front. Don't tell me the story is bigger than you thought, because it means you didn't really think it through. You know? It raises the cynicism and skepticism of the readership for Marvel for whatever their next major event is. Oh, you say it'll be X issues, but really I know it's going to be X plus 1, 2, or 3. Or you're going to throw another couple of miniseries in. Are you going to do another one of these side miniseries that really don't matter?
Or you could, the first book they did that, the first time I remember them doing that was...
Civil War Frontline, maybe?
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to go that far back. The Hammers one, where they went the last issues this
week. Oh, yeah.
By the way, we're putting out a bunch of that point something next month that are like 5 epilogues.
Fear Itself, and they did a 7.1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
They had a 5.1, 2, and 3, a 3.1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, I think it was, or something crazy like
that. The issues 3 and 5, at least those were kind of pre-announced.
Yeah.
The 7 points were not pre-announced.
Well, one of the things I did this evening was I went through the Marvel books and kind of just tagged a couple of them real quick for what were Civil War and what was Star Wars.
Okay.
Just because I was curious. And Civil War, first off, issues 0, 1, 2, and 3, which I believe are all the ones that have been published thus far of it, had reorder activity this month.
Okay.
We also had... Deadpool 15 of Civil War tie-in have some reorder activity. If you add up all of those sales for Civil War, that's almost a little over 1.25 million units. Okay. But you've got a couple of these things that are more tie-in kind of miniseries sorts of things. You've got the Kingpin series. You've got the X-Men series. You've got Choosing Sides. You've got Amazing Spider-Man. You've got Ulysses. You've got Gods of War. Gods of War is really what it is. They paused the Hercules title so they could rename it to Civil War II Gods of War, thinking it may sell differently. Really? And the minute that's over, you're just going to go back to what it was. It's literally continuing the exact storyline.
Well, okay, so as a sort of Marvel reader, which I consider myself at this point, here's my question. I know Drew has said he's trying to avoid the event.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to continue reading what he normally reads and avoid the event. My question, if I am a more traditional Marvel reader, it almost feels like the way to go would be the opposite, which I think might be part of some of these numbers we're seeing for the rest of these books. If you know the event's coming, and you know there's a rebrand, relaunch, whatever you want to call it, after the event,
mm-hmm.
When the event starts, you just stop buying everything. Read the event book, and then know you're going to get all new number ones of everything else after that.
Fair enough. What would you do on the side miniseries I just talked about?
Again, that depends how involved you are in the event. If you want all the event, you buy all the side miniseries and the event. Do you need to read the last 3 lame duck titles of whatever character?
True. Or if it's got a character you like,
yeah.
Maybe get it.
But it seems like both of those are viable options. So you've got half the audience going one way and half the audience going the other way, potentially, or a percentage going one way or the other. And then going, okay, well, we're all meet back together for the number ones again in 6 months. It almost seems counterintuitive to the purpose of the event, which is to get everybody kind of in and excited.
I think what's really counterintuitive is having drug on the event.
Well, yes, also true.
It's going on long enough that people are no longer excited about it. They're getting tired of it.
Yeah.
It seems like, and I'm a couple of weeks behind on my reading, I'll admit this. I'll catch up eventually. But it seems like every other Marvel book I'm picking up, not only is a Civil War II thing, but Captain Marvel's there talking about how she's going to, you know, go stop somebody from doing something they haven't done yet. And I'm like, really? Again? And it's like, some of the story beats are a little different. Some of them are the exact same. Some of them are, why is this person suddenly worried about, you know, arresting people for crimes they haven't committed? He hasn't even talked to Captain Marvel yet. And the one that really gets me is there are one or two things that are claiming to tie into Civil War in some way, shape, or form. Let me double check one of these real quick. Yeah, but it clearly doesn't, because it's flying in the face of the continuity of what's going on there. Yeah. I'm looking at one in particular that I just read the issue the other night of that we've got on the list here, and it's, yep, Civil War II tie-in. Somebody's being asked to choose a side. And I'm like, well, wait a sec. If that's happening, that means certain events of the events of the miniseries have happened up to a certain point. Yeah, well, wait a sec. They're clearly not referencing something they really ought to be referencing. Kind of annoying. I think it's, if you're going to do an event like this, you certainly don't sit out a month on the event miniseries. There is no Civil War II issue this month.
Well, as we talked about, seemingly, whether it's an overly ambitious schedule or other reasons, Marvel is, I would argue, gaining a reputation as having no idea how to put their events out anywhere as close to the original promised times.
And that's the nature of my concern. It's not, is it going to hurt the sales for this, but is it poisoning the well for Marvel kind of going forward?
Yeah.
Because if you look at what's going on right now, the last issue we've had of Civil War number 2 was number 3, and that came out, what, July 13th?
The first three came out like, the zero plus the first three came out essentially 2 weeks apart, right?
They were coming out at a pretty good clip.
Yeah.
Then it just kind of stopped. Yeah. Now, ironically, this is very much in keeping with Civil War itself, where the fourth issue was the one that was massively delayed and backlogged the entire Marvel Universe.
Yes.
So they're nothing if not consistent, I suppose.
But again, that's the fear. Is they're becoming very consistent at doing this?
Is it the fear or is it just the reality?
Okay.
I mean, at this point, if they do a Civil War 3 a couple of years from now, don't you think you're better off just waiting for the trade? Or in your case, for the Marvel Digital Comics Unlimited?
Here's what I learned in Secret Wars. Waiting for Marvel Digital Unlimited really makes it pointless to follow the event.
Yes.
Because here's what happens. The number ones and number twos, and in many cases the threes, fours, and in some cases the fives and sixes, were on Marvel Unlimited long before the end of the Secret Wars event work.
Yeah.
You know, which is a similar thing that happened to people buying at the stands.
I would, and I've suggested this for DC in particular in the past, that maybe what they do is they do the events as a trade. It's a fifth week. You've got a lesser amount of books coming out anyways. You've had this creative team working on this thing. You've built up to a couple of things. It leads up. You hit this fifth week. Okay, you get an annual or two here and there, but then boom. Here's a 240-page trade, the entire earth-shattering event all at once. No muss, no fuss, beginning, middle, end, bam, this changes stuff however it changes stuff.
Yeah.
Just kind of a drop the mic, walk away, kind of next week we're picking up with the aftermath.
Yeah.
Hard to do, expensive to do, I get they're not going to do it, but Marvel sure ought to be thinking about something.
Well, and I've said this for years, not years, but year and a half, 2 years, since I've become much more invested in Marvel Digital, and I understand there's probably a commitment and some of these books are so delayed they almost have to. Marvel has a pretty almost clockwork 6 month after street date. It comes on Unlimited.
Uh-huh.
For things that are massively delayed, maybe they should consider changing that to 6 weeks after the announced first date. Because again...
So it's supposed to come out today.
Yeah.
When would you have it come out digitally then? Walk me through this.
6 months from today, even if the actual issue doesn't come out for another 3 months. Clearly the issue's done. You have it digitally because it went up for sale digitally the same day the paper issue came out. So at least 4 year unlimited, you know, again, me with Secret Wars. I read the first 4 or 5. I was following all the miniseries, yada, yada. All of a sudden there was none for 3 or 4 months. I got a bunch of ones and twos and they went, oh, by the way, issue 6 is now available, that event that you forgot about 3 months ago, because you, which is exactly what happened to people buying them on the stands. I understand that. But when you're doing it, there was literally no reason to do that to your Unlimited readers other than just keeping that mechanical 6-month time frame.
Keeping the consistency, not building in the exception case, etc.
Exactly.
I hear what you're saying. I think it fixes the wrong problem of the delay on the print side to begin with.
I agree. Fixing the delay on the print side would be the obvious answer that fixes all of this.
Because, I mean, this delay, and I think this is part of why I'm starting to get a little, and I based on what James from Cowabunga was saying, I'm not the only one. It's like I'm liking Civil War, but it's getting a little long in the tooth. The Civil War II storyline has not moved forward in 2 months. Now, meanwhile, they've been able to tell, in some cases, most of a trade paperback for a Marvel title in that time.
Yes. And it's going to be much worse when they've got a trade paperback's worth of the aftermath before the end has come.
Yeah. That's... If you're going to do an event book, and I think there's an argument to be made for doing them way less frequently, you got to have your ducks in a row. And I think... Looking at a lot of these miniseries that are branded as Civil War, it's kind of tainting the brand. You know, I'm liking the Kingpin one. The Ulysses one kind of makes sense, but I mean, this was just the first one of it, and it did okay. It did 25,230 units. Now, who is Ulysses? He is the motivating focal point of the entire event. Nobody crosses over into this storyline without kind of bemoaning this guy's powers, abilities, and how he's kind of messed up everything in the galaxy, or, you know, is causing everything in the galaxy to be messed up, or saving it all, depending on your viewpoint, whatever.
And again, the focal point of your event, you read the number, but let's put that in perspective. That is rank 107.
Yes.
And under 30,000.
And having read that issue? Have I read that issue? I think I've read that issue.
It's higher than it belongs.
No, I read the Karnak issues. What I read, the Karnak, he crosses over into Karnak.
Okay.
And wow, that one I don't know where it is because it should be way lower. It was not that good of an issue. But the bottom line is, this is one that's also a digital first, I believe. It was of the Civil War II Ulysses. I think was one of their Infinite Comics.
Okay.
So that may be part of it, but one, why do that? Two. If they could have used this to bridge the gap of a couple of weeks of no Civil War II, if it's like, you know, hey, we're going to be a little long, but we're going to fill in the gap with this, and it's going to be a key pivotal point of the whole thing. It's not. or at least it clearly it's not. People are reading it. I mean, there's more.
We're not reading it.
There's more reader activity across those other issues of Civil War than there is orders for that one issue of Ulysses. And it's only a hair above The Gods of War, which is essentially a rebranded Hercules title. You know, people are as interested in what Hercules is doing in this as Ulysses.
And that's a third issue.
And that's a
of
third,
that title.
Yeah. The other one that gets me is Choosing Sides, which is just a bunch of short stories that it's got everything that goes wrong with an anthology in there. at half or a quarter of the length of the stories.
Those, though, are both outselling the two we just discussed. Those are ranked 67 and 68 for issues 4 and 5, which actually went up from 31,000 to 43,000. So people seem to be enjoying those more than those other books we just discussed.
Or at least stores are ordering them more.
Fair enough.
Are there crazy sales gimmicks on those? Let me take a look.
Particularly 5. You'd think an anthology title in the middle of an event that...
All right, let's step back to that Ulysses number 1 for a second.
Yes.
It had a 1 in 25 variant on it. And still only did, what did we say,
25,000? 25,230.
Yeah, so that's impressive. Okay, of the other ones, Kingpin number 2 had an Order All You Want alternate. Same with Gods of War, same with Spider-Man, same with X-Men, same with Choosing Sides 4 and 5. Now,
again,
also,
why
this,
did 5 outdo 4 so much is the one that's confusing to me.
I am not seeing anything here that would indicate why.
Up 39.11% from...
They're on the same order form. They're listed right after each other. The variant, or the alternate cover for Choosing Sides number 4 is the... Gurihiru, I probably mispronounced that. The other one's a Perez cover of some variant.
Oh, well, you just say it was a Perez cover?
I didn't say it was a George Perez cover.
Oh, okay.
I said it's a Perez cover of some variant. I don't know who.
Okay.
When they just put a name there, it's not much to go on.
What's That's right. Interesting, George's not working for either of them.
No, he's exclusive over at Boom.
Yeah.
The other stuff that was solicited to come out around this time frame, Civil War II number 5 of 7. With a Order All You Want variant of a black and white cover, another Michael Cho Order All You Want cover, and a 1 in 10 Noto Black Panther variant. So yeah, that's behind. And again, that's
because we haven't gotten 4 yet.
No, we haven't.
And you're talking about 5.
Yeah. But again, we haven't seen anything for 2 months. This kind of a thing is, again, what's killing the momentum over at Marvel. They've got some fun stuff, but in some cases, they're just not able to capitalize on it. I think there's a growing cynicism because of the delays and the extending of event comics. And I think there's a cynicism just around the fact that kind of the this too shall pass. Doesn't matter how much I like the current storyline for whomever. An arc or two after this, it will be completely irrelevant because somebody else will be in the suit or the title will be over and the character forgotten or who knows.
Yeah.
The upcoming variant cover stunt that will be interesting to talk about in a good couple of months is the U.S. Avengers title, which has yes. 50 variants. And they're probably independently orderable. I actually haven't checked on that. But it's like, really, do we need another thing where we've got a cover per state?
But it was good for almost 400,000 units the last time someone did it.
All right, I just pulled up that...
the JLA one?
No. I pulled up the U.S. Avengers one.
Okay.
It's got a 1 in 25 Stegman cover, and order 200 of percent of Uncanny Avengers 13 regular cover, and you can order all you want of the Young variant, the Casanova hip-hop variant, the Christopher action figure variant, the ICX, I guess, I'm not sure what that one is, variant, the blank variant, that's always my favorite artist, not always, sometimes. But then, in addition to all of those, you've got the Rice, is this Ivan Rice doing the art? So I've seen the covers. It might be. They're good covers. And in fairness, they have original art. It's not just a flag difference. But each one of these is a order 200% of U.S. Avengers number 1 regular cover versus Uncanny Avengers number 13. So whatever Uncanny Avengers, do we have that? Where is Uncanny Avengers? Ah, okay. Uncanny Avengers happens to be here at the list on rank 81. 37,907 units. So ordering twice that, I'm going to say not hard.
Yeah.
Not advisable necessarily, but not hard. And you can then order as many as you want of 55 different covers. One for each of the states, and then the blank, the ICX, the Christopher action figure, the hip hop, and the Young and the Stegman, or not the Stegman, but the Young cover. That's just a crazy amount. Now, each of these have a different Avenger on the cover with the state background and stuff, so it's at least a bit more work for them to do these than the Justice League of America covers, where all they did was drop in the flag. That's something that, I'll be honest, might take me an afternoon to do, but I think I could recreate those covers programmatically, having a version of the cover with a blank spot for the flag, having the 52 flags, and having a little time to play around with some code. In other words, I, a non-production, non-artist person, could have created all of those variants, I think, in an afternoon. That's just sad. This, of course, somebody actually had to draw some art. I'm curious which Avenger they put in which state. This is one where I'd love to see the breakdown of the variant covers. You know, which states were more popular? How come? Is it based on population? Is it based on density of state pride? Or I don't know what.
To be fair, the last time this was done, Justice League of America number 1, it was good for 326,951 units.
Absolutely. This can work.
Here's the scary thing. At the time, that was unheard of. We see one of those every other month these days.
True. That is true. Again, I think they're going to the well too often on these things. Let me do one thing real quick on this. There we go. So what I did is I took the solicits for U.S. Avengers out of the retailer order form, dumped them into another document, And then got rid of some line feeds just to make things a little bit more readable. Let me actually do that again to make that even more readable.
And for people interested, that is February 2013.
For the
Justice League of America one.
Okay. There are 60 covers for the U.S. Avengers.
Awesome.
Because in addition to each state, apparently Canada gets one, Puerto Rico gets one, and Washington, D.C. gets one. So, okay, Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C., okay,
I was going to say, listening to that list, if I'm in the Virgin Islands or American Samoa, I'm pissed.
But because of this or other reasons, I'm just asking.
if I could be an American Samoa, if I could figure out how to make that work, I'd love it.
I'm just wondering what the Canadians think of this.
Well, you know, I'm sure that's going to have, what, Puck on it? Yeah.
I would put either Vindicator or Guardian there, but...
There you go. Some member of the Alpha team. Or Alpha Flight.
I'd put Wolverine there just to really annoy them. Yeah, U.S. Avengers, and they're putting Canada. That just blows my mind. Again, this is one that'll probably top the list and do pretty well because...
Absolutely.
It's a gimmick that works. At least they're doing a bit more work for it than DC did. So again, I respect that as much as I respect any crazy, you know, number of, you know, 60 variants on a single comic, which is to say not a whole lot. One of these things in a blue moon, hey, could be cool. This is the kind of thing that I would like it if they included another line item here, which is a 64-page comic that has each of these covers at full size as a page.
You said the exact same thing for the Justice League of America one.
I'm not going to buy each of these individual ones, but if I had one that had all the covers on it, I'd buy that. I'd pay $3.99, maybe even $4.99 for it. It depends if they included the blank one or not.
If you're doing Canada, I mean, Chapter House can't be doing that well. How much would it cost to buy him Captain Canuck?
That would be hilarious. Actually, somebody should get the blank variant cover. And the Canada one, and kind of get the Canada background there, and put Captain Canuck over instead of whatever.
Dig up Richard Conley at some convention and get him to draw it for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. you could dummy up one pretty well.
Absolutely,
it'd be hilarious. Does Chapter House have anything? No, they don't have anything this month. They've had a couple of delays.
Still own the character. It's been a few years.
Oh, they've got two titles coming out with it. They've got
still exist.
Yeah, all new Captain Canuck, and then kind of a version based on the older stuff coming out. They've got some tie-in titles in that universe coming out. Northgard, I think, is one of them.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, they've got all kinds of stuff. It's just they paused, or not paused, but they haven't had anything come out in the last couple of weeks that I've noticed, and I'm not sure kind of what's up with that. But yeah, they're an ongoing concern, and I think, man, that would just be a hilarious thing to do. Because you know at least two of these covers are going to have Captain America's on them.
Of course.
If
not three.
One for Falcon, one for Steve Rogers. Who would you put as the third?
Arguably, Cap belongs on the generic one, and possibly DC, and possibly New York.
Yeah, this is where I'm curious who they're going to attribute to which state.
Because they don't have... Well, I guess they do have enough to do one per, but...
Yeah.
That's the other thing. At least with the DC gimmick, if you come from a state that's less thought of, you've had a book for you. You know, if you live in Montana and they happen to give you some, you know, terrible D-list Avenger, do you necessarily want that book?
Yeah. If it's like D-Man or Rage or...
Exactly.
Somebody like that, that's true. That
is true. If it's your state flag, it's still your state flag.
Mm-hmm. So, well, Marvel and DC are doing their restarting, their cover gimmicks, and all of that stuff, which, of course, accounts for a crazy amount of this list. So we'll go take a look at what else is going on in the world of comics. And
absolutely. Let's see what everyone else is up to. We've already covered Walking Dead. Next, everything else title on the list, Saga number 37 from Image, rank 57 with 50,015 units, up 2% from the previous issue. Saga just keeps chugging along.
Yeah, I think, again, they've gotten into a pretty good rhythm. This issue picks up after a couple of months off.
This is the start of an arc?
Yeah.
Okay.
They skipped May, June, and July. But again, this is... So it's essentially a new number one for them. Mm-hmm. Not totally, but if they were almost any other creative team, it probably would be. So they've got a good rhythm. It's working for them. I don't see any end in sight for this up until the creative team says they're done telling the story.
Yeah.
And that's how it kind of ought to be.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Universe number 1 from IDW, 34,471 units. Again, Turtles doing pretty well. The next one's kind of interesting. It's Paper Girls number 8 from Image. This is another one where the retail rank looks a little potentially odd. Let me take a look at how that is compared to some other 299 books kind of right around that, maybe.
Well, it's all the 299 books below it are below it, so it seems to be slotted right in where it should be.
Okay, so that's just more a matter of, yeah, you're right, that's looking all right. It's just when everything around it is at such a different price point, because once you filter out Marvel and DC, so few things are at $299. Yeah. But that, too, is just the way things are.
And there are a few others.
Yeah, true. There's just not that many others. Most of them, I think, are going to tend to be Image books.
Or just Robert Kirkman books.
Fair enough.
Like Outcast.
Yeah.
Oh, Spawn's still $299. That's right. I always forget that.
Well, and Descender and Demonic. So there are a couple others.
Yeah.
What else do we got in here that looks interesting? Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, number 6. 25,161 units. Down about 11%, but not too bad. The annual did, 18,035 units, but that was also a $7.99 book. A little surprising, though, because it had some name creators, Terry Moore, among others. First issue of Briggsland from Dark Horse. It was one that Drew got me to check out, and it was good. I'd pre-ordered it, but I was, am I going to stay on it? Am I not? Don't know. I liked it a lot. 20,228 units. Certainly seems like it could sustain. I think it'll probably drop a little bit, but it's based on the content, not out of whack with how it could do. But again, so few. This is the 10th or 11th? It's 14th, actually, non-Marvel DC title. So it's a competitive market there. It'll probably go down.
Yeah.
It's a competitive market. Everything will go down. Witness rank 154, which is Jupiter's Legacy Volume 2, number 2, or number 3, actually.
Yes, Volume 2, number 3.
16,111 copies.
It's only down 5%.
From the previous issue.
Yes.
But that first issue did around 28,000 versus the 17,000 of the second issue.
And the first issue of Volume 1 did 100,000, so, you know.
Yeah. That's one where the delay, I think, really kind of hurt that. We've got a couple of things where the second issue just did not do well. ROM number 2 is a good example. First issue was $4.99, second issue was $3.99, but it still lost 55.25% of the units, going from 33,107 down to 14,816. ROM is one of those that... it had a good run at Marvel, but it's not like, other than that, it's got really any kind of known backstory to lean on. I picked it up out of curiosity. I kind of like it, but it's not one that's, again, got history to it that it can kind of rest on or take advantage of, if you know what I mean. That's one that stands a good chance of potentially benefiting from the whole Hasbro, you know, revolution line type stuff, potentially. If they can get it into a good spot and that universe kind of coalesces in a way that enhances every title without it becoming another shared universe that kind of weighs everything down, it just comes down to what's their approach on the shared universe going to be there, and does it help a title like ROM or not. Another one that was a second issue that kind of dropped a bit was, I just saw it a second ago, Horizon.
Yep.
And that's, again, every once in a while, yeah, there it is. No, that's Faith number 2, I'm looking at there, that dropped 52.71%. And Horizon, this is where having a big monitor kind of isn't helpful. There it is. It dropped 48.2%. So a couple of things where people are sampling it and maybe not staying in. Some of them, again, promotions on the first issue, not so much on the later ones. Final issue of Star Trek, it ranked 221. It was issue number 60, part of a two-part storyline where the Abrams crew and the Prime crew interact. A lot of fun. 8,262 units. That's getting replaced with a Star Trek Boldly Go, I believe is the next title. We'll see how that does. 5-year missions for those titles. Okay, I'll buy that. That's okay.
Yeah.
Down at rank 292, we've got Mycroft number 1. Drew and I talked about that.
You did. I was shocked and actually went out and found it after listening to that.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed it quite a bit, and I was still amazingly surprised. I bought it more for the spectacle factor when I found out who the writer was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had not realized Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a Sherlock fan.
Yes, or a comic fan, or any of those things.
Yeah, did a good job. It was one that I was afraid we might get some more kind of rookie writing mistakes for comics. Even
not at all.
Yeah, they did it well. It only sold 5,704 units.
That's unfortunate.
It is. I think it could and should do better than that. I'll be curious to see how this does when it makes it to trade. And I hope that the creative team is not put off by those sales. I think for Titan Book, it's not too bad. It's right on par with Doctor Who and stuff. So there's no reason to think it'll stop anytime soon. I'd like to see them keep going with it.
Yeah.
One of the other ones I want to talk about is kind of below the radar of the top 300 a ways. It's down at rank 391.
Okay.
Stargate Atlantis Back to Pegasus number 3.
Did you... I remember your review. Did you continue with this?
I read the first issue, was totally lost.
Watched the show and read the second, right?
Watched the show, reread the first... and then read the second, and it's okay. Like, okay, I get it now. I'm back enough in that universe to get what's going on. It worked way better for me. I should not have had to basically skim through a couple of episodes picked quasi at randomly from the fifth and final season to get back into that place.
Yeah.
You know, I picked a couple that looked like fun that I enjoyed and the finale of the thing, and it's like, yep, they picked up more or less right where it left off. But we've got all three issues here with sales, which is a little unusual for something kind of this far below the radar. But it went from 5,432 to 4,436 to 3,415. So it could be, I don't know, if it continues this trend, 24-something next time. Actually, I'm not sure that's the case. I think this may end with the third issue to get replaced by another miniseries. They're telling a good story, but you've got to be such a diehard fan to have gotten into it. I think they really dropped the ball on accessibility, and I think that is something that is going to taint the American mythology kind of brand for a while. I don't know that they've had anything that really kind of clicked with readers really well, and I think the first couple of titles you come out with, in most cases, kind of sets the bar for how the publisher does.
Yep.
We've seen a few that the first main title really doesn't matter that much. Number Crunchers from Titan, I would say, is an example of that, because they were just kind of dabbling in comics before they then got the Doctor Who and license and stuff like that. It was almost a dry run before going serious about the comics. What else do we have in here that looks interesting? We've got about 157 items on the list after filtering out Marvel and DC. Again, a lot of these are things that fall under the radar of the top 300. We had, I think, around another 28 or so items this time around that we had visibility into. Are there any publishers or titles you're particularly curious about and been following lately and you want to see how they're doing?
Not particularly. We actually do have some breaking news. Rich Johnson just posted something shortly ago as we were recording this that I do think goes back to an earlier conversation.
Okay, what is it?
Marvel's relaunching Venom number 1 with Mike Costa in November. You give it a little extra boost. They are publishing a 1-in-1,000 variant.
Wow. This, how many stores are even going to consider that? And I would be tempted to do a 1-in-1,000,000 variant just to claim I had the highest variant, knowing that nobody would actually go buy it.
You wouldn't actually have to publish it?
No, exactly. Exactly. Again, these are just publisher games. I'm disappointed with that. It's funny because right now Rom is a space knight. Or not Rom. Venom.
Venom is a
space knight. Like Rom used to be a space knight, but yeah. this to me goes back to the other conversation about Marvel and their continual retooling, rebooting, and relaunching of things. He hasn't been a space knight for that long, you know, and some of the repositioning they do of characters ultimately doesn't matter. We're actually getting to see the Human Torch over in Uncanny Inhumans. We really have yet to see the Thing say much of anything other than the occasional it's clobbering time over in Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, so Marvel has some fun stuff, but it's gotten so transparent of each thing will last for a little bit of an arc and then they'll go in a crazy new direction that will set it up for the next crazy new direction, rinse, repeat, that I think they run the risk of readers getting jaded, getting bored, and moving on.
Getting jaded? Give us some credit. We've been jaded for years.
To the tune of a 1 in 1,000 variant?
No.
So, yeah. They got to do what they got to do, and I get that. But it's just massively disappointing when they go to that level of gimmick.
Yeah.
That's why Walking Dead is one of the few where I could even possibly give credence and serious credence to the concept of, you know, it went up because they actually started a new story arc that people are interested in.
Yeah.
You know? That just doesn't tend to happen, generally speaking, over at Marvel and DC.
No. No, unfortunately, it does not.
Let's see. Do we have anything else that looks particularly interesting? Let me filter down to just Image for a second.
I was going to say, I'm not seeing anything overly interesting per se, but
Image, yeah, again had the two high titles, and then everything else is more or less below the 30,000 mark.
Yeah.
Including things like East of West, Jupiter's Legacy, Wicked and Divine. One of the ones I did want to talk about, going back to DC for a second.
Sure.
There were a couple of things that were interesting where they placed on the list, specifically Legends of Tomorrow number 6, which I think is the final issue of that series. The stories all seem to wrap up, and I don't know that there's another issue on the books, but I honestly haven't been paying enough attention. 8,431 units, which, given it's a $7.99 comic, it's essentially four comics in one. It's not hideous, but certainly doesn't make me think that the anthology book is working for DC.
No. To be fair, I'm not sure the anthology book is working for anyone and has since the original Dark Horse Presents. Maybe Phonogram is your more modern.
And Phonogram wasn't really an anthology book.
It wasn't really. No, I agree.
You could argue Civil War Choosing Sides this month, but that's a stretch. The other thing that's interesting is if you look at the Hanna-Barbera books.
Oh, sure.
Because, again, I kind of tagged the DC into Digital First, Hanna-Barbera, Rebirth, and Vertigo. And we saw a 55.42% drop on the second issue of Flintstones. We saw another 24.18% drop on Wacky Raceland. So that went from a first issue of 34,000 plus to around 13,648 units. Scooby-Doo Apocalypse, its fourth issue only lost about 4 or 5%. Fourth issue of Future Quest only lost about a little over 8.32%. So those two I don't think are doing too bad. Scooby Apocalypse is around the 28,000 mark. Future Quest around the 25,000 mark. Flintstone is still around the 19,612 mark, so it's not like it's something to worry about. Wacky Raceland's already been converted to a six-issue miniseries. Future Quest, I think, is having some pacing problems. I don't know if they've had a fill-in issue or what, but it's just not really been kind of moving the story along very quickly, and they need to work on that.
I will say this. Now that it is filtered back to DC, the one that blows me away, and I'm not sure why they're trying it, other than maybe they think there's an audience there. Rank 188, Gotham Academy gets its first annual at 11,505.
It's getting a second semester.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I don't get that. The other thing that's interesting, Injustice Gods Among Us is starting to wind down year 5, but yeah, it's going to have another series following it. Sounds like that may start to recap adventure or some of the adventure storyline stuff from the game. I'm not sure.
Mm.
That one has still been a really fun read.
It has?
Yeah. I've been enjoying it from the beginning. It's had some better runs than others.
Yes. The first 2 years, the first year particularly, was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. But it's also one of the longest ongoing storylines involving the DC characters I can think of.
It's one of the longest ongoing storylines involving any characters.
I could argue either way on that one.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yes, if you want to, you could argue some of the Marvel stuff has really never started over.
Or the Legion continuity, or Walking Dead, or Cerebus, or whatever.
Well, Walking Dead, yes. Cerebus isn't really being published. Well, it's true. Sort of being published again.
Yeah, 300 issues even if you stop it there.
Yes.
But I think the Injustice continuity may have lasted longer than the New 52 continuity. I'm trying to remember when Injustice first started.
It's close.
Yeah. And it hasn't had to be rebirthed yet.
No.
So
It's had to be new seasoned, but yes, not rebirthed.
Yeah, but it's not like they retooled between seasons. No. To me, that was just an artificial gimmick to, bump sales. Digital First stuff seems to be doing all right, too. I'm always surprised how much Digital First stuff they're coming out with. We've got Bombshells, which actually crossed over with Harley Quinn in one of her recent Black Book ones. Is that issue 4? Is that the one that we've got here? Let me take a look. That may be what was in number 4, actually. I just read it. I'd have to go double check.
Obviously memorable.
It was I don't remember which issue it was. I'm far enough behind on my reading that it could be 4, it could be 3, it could be 5.
Okay. It was just funny. I think that's the one I just read. I had to check.
I know I just read the Harley's Little Black Book that had the Bombshells in there.
Gotcha.
And now that I think about it, it was 4 because it mentioned happening after 5, which is a time travel story involving Superman somehow. Because they like to tell things out of order because they can.
Because they can. It's fun. It's cute.
Hey, they're entertaining people and the stuff's still coming out. So that's beating a lot of things.
And still selling.
Yeah. Do we have any major drops on second issues in...
Nothing crazy.
Yeah, in Rebirth. Harley Quinn's the only crazy one. Even with that factored in, the average is around 36-37%. Yeah. Take that one out, and it's around 31%. The least drop was on Nightwing of 18%. That makes sense. Those things still have a little ways to go before they hit their level. Again, crazy good sales overall. It was very top heavy, as is should be expected by top sellers on the top.
It always is, though.
The question is, how long will this last? Will we keep seeing this? I don't think we're going to see necessarily record-breaking months continue. I would expect healthy sales to continue.
Mm-hmm.
But I could easily see us going back down more to the 8 million mark than the over 9 million.
Yep.
Just, again, we've already seen Harley Quinn cool off substantially, things like that. I don't think they've got the next couple of Rebirth titles. They've got Trinity and a few others coming out. There aren't that many that seem like they're going to be the big deal, that All-Star Batman, Harley Quinn, Suicide Squad, those are.
But we are just 2 months away from all those Marvel number ones.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. DC at least seems to be stepping up their game storytelling-wise. That's where I think Marvel seems to be struggling right now. And really, I think at the end of the day, that's what matters.
Well, yeah, and to be fair, what Marvel I'm reading, I'm enjoying. They seem to have much more of a scheduling issue than anything.
That's true. I mean, I'm liking a lot of what I'm reading about Marvel. It's just so much of it is Civil War II stuff that it's feeling a little redundant. And that's not quite the word. It's hitting some of the same story notes over and over and over again. It's like I'm getting everybody weighing in on what they think about Ulysses, except for the readers. They're clearly not caring because they're not picking up Civil War II Ulysses. But that's okay. If we look at the price points,
it's under 2/3 of the list, at least.
Just barely. $3.99 takes 65.33%, so...
196.
Yeah.
The 28 at $4.99 is still a disturbing number to me. Sure, just under 10%.
How many of those were annuals this time around?
Probably most of them, but still.
Let's filter that. See, All-Star Batman, Fallen Accused, Steve Rogers. A bunch of them are one-shots.
So a bunch of one-shots, not annuals.
Yeah. We had three or four annuals, a couple of annuals. All New, All Different Avengers, Daredevil, All New Wolverine, Uncanny Inhumans, DC Bombshells, Earth 2, Gotham Academy. More of them seem to be kind of the one-shots than annuals. None of them seem to be, although maybe is All-Star Batman going to stay at that price point?
I have no idea.
Hope not. And then those above that, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers annual at $7.99, some reorder activity, Legends of Tomorrow at $7.99, and then most of the crazy stuff was
The Grimm's Fairy Tales $125 and the Labyrinth. Those in a different month might have ended up on the trade list. Those were both square bound, you know.
Yeah.
I guess what we used to call prestige.
Yeah, prestige. To me, that's almost a page count issue. At anything below 80, it's like, okay, I can see them on the comic side. Beyond that, yeah, it starts to be a trade. There's, again, some fuzziness on both sides. We have things that are higher priced on the comic side and sometimes higher page count than some of the items we have on the trade side.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes Diamond and or the publisher, whoever it is, doesn't seem to know what they're doing. The last three League of Extraordinary Gentlemen's, one topped the trades by a mile. The other two were barely noticeable, the middle bottom of the list on the comic side, because they decided to put one on the trades list and the other two on the comics list.
Yeah. It's...
And those were, you know, $9.99 square-bound books, you know, depending on what you wanted to call them.
Yeah. It's fairly arbitrary sometimes as to which side some of those fall on. And on the one hand, it doesn't matter that much. On the other hand, it changes what the comparison points are.
Yeah.
Nice to see a month where we had some strong sales. Still, though, total losses on an issue-to-issue basis for within titles just dominated over total gains by the tune of about 1 million units. But again, when you've got something like that Harley Quinn, which lost 250,000 units right there, that's a pretty big thing, right? You know, a pretty serious chunk of it right there. Just the top handful of these things. About half the loss is the top five losing titles.
Well, and here's what I find interesting, something we haven't talked about in actually several months, if not close to a year, the median and the average.
Mm-hmm.
The median's only 14,604. On the other hand, I guess you can say the average is at 28,000, but with the craziness in the top 10, that, you know, your average title really is selling around 14,000 copies, which is a little scary.
Yeah. I mean, the most comics are not selling that well.
Yeah.
A third of the list is selling under 10,000 units this time around. You know, two-thirds of the list is selling below 28,000 units. You know, so again, that halfway point of...
14,604.
Yeah, it just... Actually, that's the median that includes the stuff...
That's the average of...
Under the radar as well.
Oh,
I may need to correct how that is calculated. That should stop at row 302. Okay. That should be 16,329 units.
It's a little better. At least it's over 15,000, but it's you know, when there's 20 books near 100,000 and then, let's face it, everybody else below 16, it's not really great.
Yeah. The bottom line is, on average, you're selling well under 20,000. The average title is at cancellation levels for Marvel and DC by and large.
Yeah.
And Marvel and DC have higher overhead and higher expectations than most other publishers.
Also true.
So your average, again, American Mythology, where they're selling the 3,400 units and stuff, that may be perfectly great for them. They may be very happy with that. They may not be, I don't know, but they're a small enough company that they stand a very good chance of that being very successful for them.
Yeah. They may be able to survive on it. Of course you'd want to sell more. Who wouldn't want to sell more? But yes, survivable, yes.
Survivable and potentially even profitable.
Yes.
You know, and that's really what it comes down to. Is it worth their money to continue going?
But I guarantee you, yeah, Scott Snyder, you know, with All-Star Batman selling what it did. If you said, hey, would you have preferred it sold 600,000? You'd say, sure, of course I would.
Well, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's a question of where is that disappointment level? And
yeah.
At what point is that just unreasonable?
Yeah.
So, again, fun to have a new high watermark for the top 300. Third month in a row. Don't expect that to continue, but clearly a lot of that is directly attributable to the Rebirth success. So
again, with Marvel coming and the holidays coming, we could see another couple of high water marks before January.
It comes down to no Civil War this month.
Yeah.
So Civil War II kicks in with expected numbers doing pretty well, and that accounts for some of the DC stuff cooling off because it's a little further down in, you know, off the new shiny stuff.
And like I said, by October, the all-new, all-different's back.
Yeah, well, and by December, we'll have the U.S. Avengers with all 60 covers. So, I mean, there are other things that'll prop up sales. The question is, how many of these are propping it up? How many of these are ongoing? And I hold out hope that even though it will cool off moving forward, that Rebirth is actually got some nuggets that may actually become ongoing steady sales.
Yeah.
In other words, it's not just Batman, Justice League, and Harley Quinn and other things falling on the vine or whatever. We may have a number of other titles, detective, action, that are doing better than how your average DC title was doing, either during the New 52 or before the New 52. And at the end of the day, that's a win if that's what happens. So we'll see how it goes. But to your point, yeah, there's plenty of stuff coming down the pike. It's not like we're reliant on what's out there now to maintain the sales.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to get to that point where that way they didn't feel they had to keep doing new number ones all the time. Just, I don't know, it'd be nice to have
it would be great.
Survivable titles on a regular basis. But we'll see if that ever happens. So anything else? Does that pretty much do it for this month?
I'm good.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. The sales estimates can be found under the sales chart section of the Comic Book Page website. Please email us at themailreport@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.
The views expressed by Don Mayo and his guests are their own and may or may not accurately reflect reality in any way, shape, or form. If you differ from your reality, please verify you are in the same space-time continuum before taking any action. All numbers given are estimates and only estimates. To think otherwise would be foolish. The estimates given are for sales from publishers to retailers for items invoiced through Diamond Comics Distribution for the month in question. The Diamond Order Index only goes 2 decimal places, and therefore there is a margin of error of at least 1/10,000th of the estimate for the key title, which is usually, but not always, Batman. For months in which no issue of Batman shipped, Detective Comics is usually used the key title. Some numbers are rounded to the nearest 100 for convenience. This may introduce a further level of inaccuracy. No information about how many copies may or may not have sold to readers is included, implied, or denied. Anywhere from all of the units shipped to retailers to none of them could still be sitting on store shelves gathering dust. All reorder activity should be seen only as indications there's at least one retailer that may have an excessive amount of empty shelf space with dust and needs collecting. The list of the top 300 comic books only contains the top 300 comic books sold through Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 300 different comic books may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of top 300 comic books for the month. The list of the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions only contains the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions sold through Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 100 different graphic novels and collected editions may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of top 100 graphic novels and collected editions for the month. In the past, the list of top graphic novels and collected editions contained only 50, 25, or SKUs and items. This means that historical data about graphic novels and collected editions is increasingly limited the further back in time that you look. Fixing this may require time travel, which as far as we know now, has not been successfully invented in the past, present, or any possible or probable future. No visibility into the sales or lack of sales of any comic books, graphic novels, and or collected editions that are not listed on the top 300 comic books or top 100 graphic novels and collected editions lists is included, implied, or denied. The data from Diamond only contains data from Diamond. No information about the sales or lack of sales of any items sold outside of Diamond Comics distribution channels included, implied, or denied. That information is considered to be outside the scope of this report. If this isn't the data you're looking for, then this isn't the data you're looking for, and no amount of whining will change that. If you don't know why this disclaimer is here, then it probably isn't meant for you. This report is void in the alternate reality of Duluth, Minnesota. Math, logic, and the English language itself seem to work very differently there.